Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. This is Brian Gittins here doing the little pointless intro at the start of every one of these episodes. And no one listens. Who listens to these intros, I wonder? Just my mum. Just Mummy Gittins. Mummy Gittins has a little listen. No one else does. But anyway, I'm going to plough on. Thanks for downloading I've never done this before. That's very professional of me. Thank you for downloading the podcast. It's really flying high now. I think we got a little mention in the Guardian. Just shutting the door. I think we got a little mention in the Guardian. So that's not bad, is it? Fucking plugging us in the guard is better than the fucking Sussex Argus, pardon my French. So the podcast is flying high, soaring high through the clouds, like one of David Edwards' golden pelicans or whatever. Anyway, sorry, I'm waffling. So thank you for downloading, and what can I say to you? What can I tell you? Going on, I'm laying on my bed, 115% nude, doing an intro to the podcast with nothing really going on in my life. I'm doing Edinburgh in August, so please book some tickets. Oh, it annoys me. Please come up to Edinburgh and support me and book some tickets and watch the show and sod off home. I just need bums on seats and willies laid on the bar. Yeah. That's all I need. So please come and watch the show if you're interested. I think I'm a botech. Do you know what? I should look this up. A botecho, I think it's called botecho. I don't know where I am. I'm in Bristow Square, I think. I don't know. So that's it. I've got nothing else to say, really. That's about it. If you want to support what we do, if you want to get extra tidbits, we've recorded another 20-25 minutes of the podcast. You fancy a bit of that and want to support the podcast, and go to Patreon and look up Brian Gittins and Friends, and we stick up videos and audio clips and pictures and little videos of David behind the scenes, and so basically you get all the inside goss as soon as possible. But anyway, thank you again, and if you like the podcast, then please like it on iTunes. Like it, click like, do something with your life and click like, support it, leave a review, go, this is a wonderful podcast and it deserves to be in the top fucking 100 podcasts, please. Okay, so anyway, thanks again, and I hope you enjoy the podcast. This one's with Henry Packer, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye bye now, see you later. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode, I think we're on 38 or 9, David.
We are certainly hitting the big 4-0.
Yeah, well, we're not. We're on 38 or 9.
Absolutely, yeah, we are literally episodes away from it.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's perfect. Just get the microphone ready.
So, to my right-hand side, he's always here. He's on every episode.
Glad to be here.
And your name is...
Dave Edwards.
Is it Dave? Do you prefer Dave?
Dave, David. I'm very casual with it. I'm very flexible with my name. They can do what they wish.
Right, okay. I'm going to call you David Edwards. You've got 14 middle names.
I have.
You're how tall?
I am not quite 6'4".
Right, and your nickname this episode is the Blonde...
Horizon.
Right. Why?
Why?
Just the idea of, you know, bringing in golden goodness and the style of the blonde bouffant that, you know, lays on my head and it appears in the distance and gives people hope. It's a brand new day.
I'm not normally sat this close to you and I don't like it.
Oh, don't you? I thought it was quite nice. Good eye contact.
Really, I'm not so keen.
Quite neat. I'm comfortable with it. I can go with it.
Well, anyway, let's crack on. So our guests, we've got two guests this week. It's a very, very exciting podcast. But our guests, our first guest this episode is none other than Henry
Packer. There you go.
Normally don't go for the pause between the two syllables.
Absolutely. I didn't trust myself for a second. I've had some bad situations with guests, and now it's turned into a neuroses.
So it's Henry
Packer. Hey, there you go. No pause needed there.
Thanks for coming, Henry.
A massive pleasure.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, so far, yeah.
So far, it's gone well.
I'm
That's
sitting
good.
Down. It's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hello, Henry. Please just relax and enjoy yourself. Make yourself at home.
That's Charles.
That was Charles. Thank you very much, Charles.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So, could you explain what Charles looks like to the viewers?
Yeah, absolutely. Charles is about 7 foot. he's got quite intense eyes, and alongside that, very intense eyebrows, which show a very high IQ for AI in this early stage of its development. And he's bald, sort of a middle-aged man, kind of like hair around the sides, like a sort of eagle's nest type of thing on his head. And he's got a can-do attitude.
Lovely description.
Lovely description.
He enters the room with a real positive vibe about him.
And so our second guest this episode is very exciting. It's Daniel...
Smythe!
He's a patron. He's a patron listener.
I am.
It's glorious to me. Thanks for making the effort to come up. And
thank you for having me. Well, it's a real pleasure.
That's very nice of you to say. Benefit for listeners at home, Daniel is sat directly opposite David. How does that make you feel, Daniel?
It's okay. He hasn't pointed so far.
That may happen later, so get ready. Don't take it personally if it does suddenly appear.
Right. David does a lot of pointing, Henry.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Just to emphasise things.
He did it then.
Yeah, there you go, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay.
I need to get rid of it.
Okay, so this episode we are at the Crucible.
Right.
In Sheffield, is it?
I believe so.
Yeah, we're at the Crucible, the snooker. Do you not know the Crucible?
I didn't know what the Crucible was. I thought it was like a cathedral or something, or something religious. But Crucible, what is snooker?
Crucible?
It's a theatre.
A theatre, right, okay.
You're pointing straight away and I'm pointing.
Put the old fingers back in the hoisters.
Have you ever been to the Crucible, Henry?
I've not been to the Crucible.
Right.
I seem to remember, for me, Crucible, wasn't it at school, it was a little thing you heated up stuff in science was a Crucible.
Yeah, that's possible as well. Definitely,
I think that's the idea. It's the theatre. It's a hotbed of
snooker.
What it is?
Well, it's like the snooker. The snooker really heats up.
What do they normally do? Do they put on
fates? I think
fates, and then the world.
And then the world cheapest snooker.
And then the Crucible for me, wasn't the play when they tried to burn a witch? Yeah,
that was about a 10-second point.
I know,
point.
Indeed.
Crucible is also a film.
The Crucible is a film?
Indeed, and I think things get hot there. I think people get burnt, so I think fire is a reoccurring theme.
Right, have you ever been to the Crucible, Daniel?
I have.
Have you?
To watch a play and snooker.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I know.
The whole shebang.
They do. Well, it's a theatre by day. Snooker by.
It's both ends of the cultural spectrum, isn't it? It's both extremes.
It really is.
Do you know, I went to watch... can you hear the hushed tones of the audience waiting?
Because
just to let you know, Henry is going to be playing David in the World Championship final.
Wonderful! But it's snooker.
So that's what's happening. But I went to watch some professional snooker at Ali Pally a couple of years ago, and I was a bit late, and I sat down, and they started... I missed like the first couple of frames. I sat down, and they started... And a bloke hit a 147. First frame I've ever seen. And it was really underwhelming. I wasn't interested.
So 147 means he just got rid of all the balls on the table in one foul swoop type of...
Not one shot.
No, that'd be incredible.
No.
But one
foul
after
swoop
one of them.
Would mean the other... Well, not contestant, what are they?
Snookerman.
Snookerman, that's what they're called by trade.
Yeah,
that'd be on their passport.
Swoop, he'd get fourth, the other...
Right, okay. Well, that's impressive.
But he knocked all the balls down.
Snooker boys.
They're called snooker boys.
It's just boys hanging out who enjoy snooker.
But yeah, so I've witnessed a live 147 break, and it was...
just a real anticlimax.
Yeah. Are you feeling that now?
Is also, telling it is an anticlimax, isn't it?
Because I'm not very good at it.
No, so because what's impressive about it is just a number, isn't it? You go, you know what I saw? It's incredible.
Yeah, 147.
147.
It's just maths.
It's not a particularly high number in its own right.
No.
I guess with the internet, you can find it on YouTube anyway. You just type 147 in. And, not a rule.
Well, you can write 147 in a Word doc.
Yes, you could and just look at it. But I mean, I'm sure you know, you could find it on YouTube anyway, couldn't you? Just capture with
four,
the wonders
seven.
Of video.
Say that again, Charles.
147.
Because yeah. That's what it'd be like over the tannoy in
can
the
Crucible. Can you give us another number, slightly higher?
148.
He really took slightly. Yeah, I mean, he went for it with slightly there, didn't he?
Yeah. So, anyway, setting the scene, Daniel's going to be the referee, if you don't
wonderful.
Mind.
Wonderful. OK,
David is going to be playing Henry in the world.
I brought my cue.
Got your cue. You haven't bought your cue. You bought a broom.
I have bought a broom, but I've got the blue chalk to go with it to, you know, to make sure it shoots straight.
Which way around are you going to be using the broom?
I'll have the brush up where my armpit is and then guide it in between my fingers. Okay. That'll be the main idea, I think. Yeah. That'll be my main strength.
It's not going to be precision isn't going to be your strength in this game. It'll be sort of brute force.
Self-belief and confidence, are they ultimately.
How have you managed to get to the final?
A good coach.
Who's your coach?
My old PE teacher. We've carried on our sports fascination together all the way from the playground to the Crucible.
Yeah, okay.
So I think this could be... I think you'll be, you know, joyfully impressed with some of the stuff that happens on the table type of thing.
Okay, so we're going to crack on with the episode. So the first question of this episode is this. David, if you could live in any TV home... what would it be?
Any TV home? Any TV home, full stop. I think Roseanne Barr's home in the 80s, the American one. I thought they had... they just used to slop around on the couch, eating potato chips, eating ice cream. No one judged anyone. The daughter was pregnant. She wasn't forced out of the home. She was, you know, allowed to come in and, you know, it was just another food, another mouth at the table. It was kind of relaxed American pop culture junk food.
Right,
it's all gone a bit Donald Trump now. It's a bit of a Trump supporter and things like that. But it's not the end of the world. They're still having fun. They're still smiling. They're still getting on.
It's been cancelled, hasn't
it? Yeah, she just had it.
It's been cancelled.
It's been cancelled? Yeah. Has it really been cancelled?
Yeah, she made a racist tweet.
Very controversial choice,
That's interesting.
It's a very controversial
choice. Yeah, because I thought this was quite a light, fun show we were on.
Well, what did she say that was controversial? Sorry, this is way over my head. I didn't know whatsoever.
Okay. I literally read about this on the tube on the way here.
And what did she say?
It's hot.
This is hot off the press racism.
It was a tweet about some lady in reference.
Let's move on.
No, let's not. Let's stick with it.
Well,
a movie featuring apes.
Goodness me.
Planet of the Apes.
There you go. Well, that door will be closed on Roseanne. Thank you very much, and a lot of deadlocks on there. It's got to be said. I'm shocked by that.
But bearing that in mind, was that still the TV home you'd go for?
Yeah.
Not now. You know, I wouldn't.
Well, really?
It kind of taints the popcorn and the sugar Coca-Cola.
It's one little mistake she's made on Twitter, and you're not going to. I'd live in her house because of that.
Well, I'm getting the vibe that it's racism type of thing. She's a bit xenophobic. That's a hot grenade, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
She has been Roseanne Barr.
Brush.
What's that, Charles?
She has been Roseanne Barr.
She's been Roseanne Barred from Twitter.
Rightly said. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's bard the bar.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and I think, it's ruined that one for me. I had some good memories about the old Roseanne franchise. Now that's come to an end. Rightly so, though. She's going to start, you know... throwing racist shrapnel out of her mouth, spitting at people like a anaconda type of thing. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Isn't that a shame? You know, we started off with something positive there and it just sort of corroded and died.
So very quickly now, what other TV home would you like to live in? Go.
Another TV home.
Don't think about it. Go.
Very simple. I should have said it at the beginning.
The Cosby Show.
No, not the Cosby Show. Absolutely. But then, you know... No, I can't get back into that. No, apologies. It was all wholesome fun, though, wasn't it? Those jumpers were great. He used to dance at the beginning. It's been tainted now, which is such a shame. Yeah. I used to always watch that when I came home from school. The Good Life.
Right.
you know, with Richard Pryor, just him and me living together in the house and just making food out of the soil in an organic manner. Yeah. I mean, that's just, you know, wholesome fun. And there's nothing wrong with Richard.
That
I mean,
point.
Sorry, put that away. There's no skeletons coming out of that grave.
Well, there is. He's dead, isn't he?
I know, but you'd have to dig them out, you know, personally, you know, in a sense of...
Yeah. Skeletons? Yeah. Did you say skeletons?
Skeletons.
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't quite fall off the old top lip there perfectly. But I think ultimately, great attitude, very left-wing focused, new age. Oh, you nearly knocked... I guess there with the
sorry, I nearly poked Henry in the eye with my own.
Do you think Good Life's a good one? Does that fill you with aspirations and joy?
I don't think they care.
No, they don't. I thought I'd really have a good one there.
I'm not engaged with this one. Sorry, I'm going to be honest with you.
It's not listening.
No,
I'm not
engaged with
it. To me, it doesn't really make sense as a question because mean, because that was just obviously a TV set, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't have a functioning.
I fell on that one.
It doesn't have a functioning tap, does it? You're getting the taps, you've got nothing, you've got no
the
power.
The big breakfast house, apparently you could own that. So there you go, that'd be a fun one to live in.
Well, that was a functioning house.
Right. That was a functioning house.
Does that still exist, the big breakfast house? That's questions for Daniel.
Yes.
Yes, it does still exist.
It does. Lockkeeper's Cottages, Old Ford Lock, London.
Look at that!
ECQ2NN.
How do you know that?
Are you questioning him?
Oh, no, not at all. I'm just impressed by his knowledge.
I'm a big fan of all TV houses.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Because that is the exact address.
I know.
Did you visit the Big Breakfast House?
I didn't. I wish I did, but I didn't.
Gosh, no. I watched them on YouTube. They're wonderful.
Okay, guys, so David, you're to break first. So we've been nattering away, but...
Yep, so hand me my broom, please.
Okay, so David's just leaning over the table.
Just the blue chalk on the nib. Lean in, put my the
you
thigh
don't have to explain
on the side of the table, sorry. There we go.
There we go. And the balls are clapping.
Wow.
Great break. So let's just watch Henry move, glide around the table.
Well, he's scattered the reds nicely.
Yeah, he has.
I certainly have, I'm quite pleased.
He's secreted the cue ball. Behind that green, haven't you?
Yeah, I certainly have.
Yeah.
It's like very strategic.
It's like it's poking out from behind a sort of perfectly round, shiny bush.
It is.
You flirt.
It is, slightly. Sort of a bit, a bit like, you know, getting a bit randy, but what the hell, it's snooker. Yeah.
Well, you've snookered me, haven't you?
Yeah.
I certainly have, but you've got to not allow my expertise to overshadow you.
You're
going to
keep every conversation after every shot.
I know, we need to move on to the next.
Yeah. It's weird the way that... Does any other game sport have this? Snooker's got a thing called snookering, which is the name of the game itself. That's as if that's what the game is, so that you've snookered him.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Can you say Oh, he's tennised him there.
He's footballed him.
He's footballed him. He's footballed it.
I mean, swim would just be sunk. That's not the name of the game, is that?
Well, he swam, you'd say.
Swam.
He has swam.
But it'd have to be the wrong element of swimming, wouldn't it? He's not swam, he's sunk. And, I think snooker's unique in that. I mean, what even is snooker? Because, I mean, with most names of sports, it's a basketball. You know, it's a football. But with snooker, it's just like, what? Yeah, this is true. This is why it's so important to get around with people and discuss these things. You get a real badminton, that's like snooker. Badminton.
Uh-huh.
It's just a word, you know. It doesn't link to any of the things taking place during the activity.
Yeah. Okay.
It's my go, isn't it?
Yeah, so have you got a question? No, you've got to play your shot.
I'll play my shot.
Yeah, please.
I'm just going to take it off the back left cushion and try and get it to bounce off.
Shot.
Give it a go.
What do you think of Henry's waistcoat tonight that he's worn to the...
Very nice. It's velvet ruby red and it's grabbing my eye. Same colour as the red balls we need to pot.
Give it a touch if you want.
Thank you. Just the one finger, just on the lapel. Very nice.
Do you want a touch, Daniel?
Very nice.
So, Henry, have you got a question for David?
Yes.
First question of the podcast.
I'd like to ask David, do you have any reflections you'd like to share?
it's just pictures or...
It's just what he's... It's just... Sorry, your waistcoat is utterly absurd.
Right.
Sorry, I'm just...
Wow!
It's unique and it's different. I like to have a certain identity on the...
Could you explain to listeners
on the arena
what his waistcoat looks like, Daniel?
It's No, it's actually obscene.
It's, I think to describe it would.
Well, I wouldn't call it obscene.
It's got rude words daubed all over it.
I would be Roseanne Barred from this.
Yeah.
If that was the case.
What animal is it made out of?
What?
What animal is it made out of?
What animal is it made out of?
David? What animal is it made out of?
Yeah.
It's made of
lizard.
That very long lizard that comes from Japan that Daniel Craig had to fight in Skyfall.
Komodo dragon.
Yes, there it is. A Komodo dragon is around my body as we speak.
And you've sewn loads of rude words over them,
In its own teeth.
That was not my idea. It's you can't see the rude words, but then when the light projects on it, you can see it in the leather. So it wasn't my idea to start putting swear words and exclamation marks at the end.
Okay.
Now I've entered this illuminated arena.
Very quickly, what three swear words on your back, just to explain?
I've got shitty thug on the back there, and then angel see you next Tuesday along down here. It's just rude words. It's just like, you know, just inappropriate.
Okay. What was your question, Henry?
So my question was going to be, do you have any reflections you'd like to share on the passing of Philip Roth?
Now, Philip Roth, I'm aware of him. You know, he's a writer. He used to sit behind that typewriter and bang out a lot of words. When they came together, they were rip-roaring tales. I did see a documentary with him. Yentl, was that, I believe?
Yentob. Alan Yentob.
You are quite right. Imagination. And he seemed to have a bit of temper on him. He didn't take fools gladly, but he was a dedicated man when it came to his writing. I'm going to have to get around and read one of them, because apparently they're page turners. He's won a lot of awards writing them.
Yeah.
I couldn't say it hit me in the gut type of thing. When Sue Townsend died, I was like, oh, bloody hell, that's the end of that.
It's Adrian Mole.
Yes, it is Adrian Mole.
You've pointed with your thumb, then.
I know, I don't quite know what it is. I think I'm trying to move away from my fingers, but now I've gone into my thumb, which isn't helpful, is it? It's the same thing.
Right, so you miss Sue Townsend?
I've missed her a hell of a lot. Philip Roth, I think...
Can we have a little bit of music editor here? And could you just a little goodbye to Sue Townsend? Like a belated goodbye.
Sue, I've read your words during the early days of my teens, and even though you're a middle-aged woman, for some reason you understood what it was like to be a teenage boy in quite great depth, and I felt a real psychological and emotional connection there. And I imagine she was probably a fantastic mother, you know, because, you know, sometimes mothers can't quite connect to a boy that's going through that quite intense electric stage of puberty. But she really could, and she captured it with her biro pen and sold it to the nation. So, you know, good luck to her.
Bye-bye, Sue.
Bye-bye, Sue. You. Yeah, well said, Charles. There won't be another one of her soon.
Soon?
Or never, maybe. I don't know, you know.
Miss you, Sue.
Miss you, Sue.
Miss you, Sue.
Miss you, Susie. Daniel, have you got a question for David as Henry takes his second shot?
Yeah, if you could lose one of your limbs, which one would it be and why?
Wow.
Basically, I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't know the anatomy of the human being that well. But as long as it was I don't know my anatomy to that degree. As long as it was a limb that I could still walk, I think walking is a vital thing. And I think as long
Why
as...
Why are you staring at me?
I don't know. I'm trying to visualise the human body and what would be the best limb to keep, basically.
Okay.
And it's very much... So I was staring through you. I wasn't staring at you in a sort okay. of like an aggressive nice drunk in a Scottish pub or anything like
yeah,
that.
Sure.
Basically, it'd be as simple as the top half of your body, electronically, robotically, can be easily replaced with some kind of robot part of the body. Okay? Whereas I think anything below the waist... Any of those, like the leg or any of those limbs particularly, a lot harder to sort out.
Is that true, Henry?
It doesn't sound true.
No.
I don't...
Because the upper body has the head, doesn't it? Yeah. The brain, and that's the most sophisticated sort of thing in the world.
I'm talking bollocks.
No, the top half, I would look at... no, you are right. Yep, you're right.
I thought.
Basically, the bottom is what we'd focus on. I mean,
focus on the microphone,
yeah, absolutely. Well,
he's only asking you to remove one limb, and you've pitched losing your entire upper body, just being having your legs and sort of cyborg robot.
I'm being overly dramatic. Top. I really am being overly dramatic. It would be a case of just chop off the bloody knee and give me an electronic leg like one of those American Marines. Simple as that. And the limb can be passed on to whoever. You know, it's perhaps not the most exciting answer, but it's logistics,
logical. Transplant. You could... I mean, you'd offer the leg to medical.
Oh, absolutely. I'd wrap it up and send it to the NHS. Get on with it. You know, let's start working out whether you need to cure. And I'd have a shiny robot leg to wander around in.
Okay.
So I think that's, there's something, you're quite right. You want to look after the neck upwards. That's
just
key.
Just done a hand, maybe.
Did I really? Sorry about that.
No, you could have just lost a hand. It's a lot less effort.
Is a hand a limb?
But does a lady want to have the cold Darth Vader grip around them?
Is the hand a limb, Henry's just asked. Is the hand a limb?
I think it is, isn't it? The old wrist.
Is any protuberance a limb?
That's out of my protuberance. What's that?
Well, anything that sticks out of a...
flirting again.
Indeed.
If you've got a shape or something sticking off it, is that a limb?
Do you know what? I'm going to look it up. David, could you sing a quick song about limbs?
I have a limb.
Change the melody.
A limb inside of me. It falls out like the root in a tree.
A limb or extremity is a jointed or prehensile appendage.
From the old English limb or extremity is a jointed or prehensile as octopus arms or New World monkey tails, appendage of the human or other animal body. In the human body, the upper and lower limbs are commonly called the arms and the legs, respectively.
Thank you, Charles. Appreciate that.
That's why you want a robot in the room, isn't it?
I think around a technicality, you could say a finger was a limb, according to that, because it's a jointed, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you
Let's
definitely
ask
could
Charles,
call that.
Is a finger a limb, Charles?
Yes.
Yes, yes it is.
There you go. So just chop one of those off.
Yes, it is.
End of it.
Okay, so I've got another question here, David. We're really rattling through the questions. By the way, Henry has moved eight frames to two ahead of you.
Really? That's quick? Eight frames to
two? Yeah, but I mean, this whole thing's cut. So it's
fair enough. Absolutely.
Okay. It's been punishing. I mean, it's been a punishing.
That's eight frames, I imagine so.
Yeah.
It's been absolutely.
That's that ruby red waistcoat of yours giving you some luck.
What do you think of Henry's approach to the table as he glides around it?
I think he's very focused. I think he knows he's almost like three shots in front of himself each time, whereas I'm more present in the now. I just do the shot that is in front of me.
And what do you make of the referee?
I think you're quite fair with what you've done type of thing. I mean, maybe a few times you should maybe hold Henry back and sort of say, I think you spent a bit too long over that shot. Because he does seem to, I'm not being critical or anything, I'm just saying that, sometimes a lot of time is spent and I'm sort of getting a bit tired and bored, and then suddenly it's my go. I've sort of lost focus.
So Henry's got quite a slow.
Very
slow. I do like to size it up. There's no doing it. I like to size it up from all angles. I like to sort of get down on my knees a bit.
Here we go.
Just hold my fingers in.
I'm going to put loads of honks into this, by the way.
It's got a certain flirtatious element about it, isn't it?
And then you've got to decide which cue you're going to use. Are you going to use the spider?
And it does take me off the game, all this flirtatious talking. That's sort
that
of a subtext.
That was just about the cue.
Or the spider. No, I suppose spiders aren't that sexy.
Okay, so we've got another question. Good point. Another question here, David, from a listener. From David Waite. It's from David Waite.
His name rings a bell.
Does it? What don't you understand but wished you did?
Goodness, there's a whole realm of different things. When I'm on public transport, I wish I understood the foreign tongue, what people are shouting about or excited about. There's like a massive perspex window there, isn't there, whereby you want to enter into the conversation. You seem to be having a lovely joke, not you literally...
I thought you were having a go. No, not at all. I didn't move my face slightly. I thought that... you'd really taken that badly.
Yeah, no, you were attacking it.
Not at all.
Calm down,
not
David.
Calm down. Can't get the temper levels low.
You're thinking about the massive perspex.
Yes.
Glass. Do you mean there's literally they've got those on the tube?
No, metaphorically. I mean, sometimes they do. Yeah, they do have them. There's both of them there. You're quite right. It's a real one for health and safety, but also a cultural one that encompasses me. And I want to just break through the perspex and start interacting and saying, why is the family in tears? Why have you made that beautiful woman blush?
Does this happen around you a lot on the tube?
I do find it quite a bit, actually.
Tears.
Yeah, just some. Why is the interaction? It seems to be heightened drama.
Right.
But
what are you wearing out of interest when this happens?
I could be jogging if it's first thing in the morning. So I've got
jogging.
On the tube.
I never consistently go jogging. It could be not on the tube, but just normal train connex.
Sorry. Chain what's?
Connex, isn't that a train?
I don't know.
I'm sure it's C-O-N-N-E-X.
Right.
I could be.
You don't go jogging. There's no way you go jogging.
Not consistently.
When was the last time you went jogging?
Usually probably like once a month or 3 weeks.
When was the last time you went jogging, David?
It was near my birthday, so it had been like sort of mid-March.
Okay, yeah.
So it's usually kind of, it's something
like... That's a lie as well.
Yeah, it's probably, it'd have been kind of like after
You're
Christmas
a liar.
Sort of thing. Yeah, I do lie a bit. I do own the jog suits, and it is worn, you know,
have you
occasionally.
You got a jog suit, Henry?
I wouldn't call it a suit. I've got shorts right. and T-shirts. But it matches.
That's all you need, really.
Yeah.
T-shirt, shorts, lots of movement.
Daniel here, you look pretty buff, Daniel. You work out quite a lot.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Definitely, you got some guns on you there.
Your eyes looking down his body then, David.
I'm just checking out, just seeing, you know,
flirting.
Just examining.
Oh, talking about bodies, we've got a streaker in the current crucible, everyone.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
You've got to put that away.
Okay, Henry, can you explain what the streaker's doing?
Oh, well.
The streaker is...
What's he doing, Henry?
he's gone to the table.
He's gone to the table.
He's crouching over one of the pockets.
Well, I can see everything.
Uncivilized.
You can see Charles. See
and
everything.
I think I think the idea is he's going to try and pot a brown. I think that's what he's. And it's a horrible.
That's
the
plan.
It's not a,
right.
It's
he's
a horrible
got a
idea.
He's a very focused looking face, isn't he? Yeah. He's definitely digging deep, seeing what he can come up with.
What does that mean?
Well, just trying to biologically conjure something up, I think, and in the middle of the crucible.
Running around the crucible again, the crowd are cheering, they're enjoying the moment.
Oh,
it's a lovely
gosh.
Sporting moment.
I'm not sure I am, that's a bit...
He's chalking up his nipples.
He's chalking up his nipples with your chalk.
Oh, well, don't want that back, you can take that home.
And he's running around the
David,
table.
David, well, I don't do the streak.
Streak, David, streak with him.
Oh, not really, I'll take off my waistcoat, perhaps, and undo a few buttons.
And he's up the steps. He's up the steps and he's gone. Okay, so have you got another question, Henry?
Yes. Okay. What did you think of Meghan's dress?
We're talking about the royal wedding. What did I think of Meghan's dress? Do you know what? It just sort of... she seemed fine. It was white. It had a certain, you know...
That'll do.
I mean, I agree. That's exactly what I thought.
I should add more to it, really.
No. She seemed fine and it was white.
It was white, you know, what you expect of pure ladies being, you know, ushered down an aisle. You know, it ticked all the traditional boxes.
Yeah. So did you watch the wedding, Daniel?
Yeah, I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah, didn't you? No. Ridiculous, David.
I thought the preacher was quite an interesting chap.
I didn't watch
behind
it.
The lectern. They had like a
behind
religious
the what?
Preacher. Lectern.
Okay.
A religious preacher, didn't
that's
they?
That's right, yes. That's
he
right,
had
yeah.
some thoughts to say about social media and how we need to turn the computers off and to try and connect as real people. I thought that was quite, you know, refreshing.
Wasn't the right place to talk about it, but it was a good idea.
Yes, it was a good idea.
What he was saying
place,
was right, but
good
wrong,
ideas.
Yeah.
They
true.
Need to marry together those two things, good ideas and right places, yeah.
Yeah.
Location and thought, it's got to be appropriately kind of executed together. So halfway there, you can't knock it, can you?
Yeah.
Effort went into it.
Yeah.
But out of 10, the royal wedding?
Well, I think, you know, 5 out of 10. You know, great idea, bad place. 50%. No, I'm agreeing what you're saying.
4,
you know.
7.
147.
Yes, quite right. It all comes together, doesn't it, thematically?
Now, Henry, we get David gets the chance to ask the guest one, or we've got two guests, one question this episode. Mm-hmm. So this is the golden question section, so go for it, David.
Absolutely. One thing I wouldn't mind knowing more about is your fascinating... Sorry, not Henry, I'll definitely, you know... Sorry.
who's this aimed at?
Dan, briefly, is that okay? Or, but I will.
Why are you? Can you focus on the microphone?
Sorry. Apologies.
You've never done this before.
You just hooked my interest. Your fascination of TV houses. sorry, that's grabbed me. I apologise.
Yeah, no, okay, right. Well, what's the question?
What are the houses you've gone to? Why have you got a fascination with TV houses? And
it started with Pat Sharp Funhouse.
Oh right.
Is that a real house?
If you're a kid,
Yeah,
from their Big Breakfast.
Did you went to the Big Breakfast house?
No, just watched it on TV.
So right. Funhouse, you open the front door and it is the Funhouse type of Because I would have thought that was a studio in IT.
Use your body and your brain if you want to play the game, right?
Yep, that's, absolutely. That's, I didn't realise it was physical real estate. Yeah. I just thought it was a studio.
A house is a house to me. I don't, you know, I'm not too picky. As long
as it's
on TV.
Have you been to any other ones that are... It's quite an interesting.
Yeah, the monsters.
Well, it's not that interesting, but anyway.
The monsters.
The monsters.
The monsters.
Remember they had
that's
like
in America,
a,
isn't that?
Yeah, haunted house.
You went to their house.
Yep.
Did you?
No.
So you haven't been to any.
No. In reality, I haven't. I'm just an observer from afar.
You look at them on the internet, do you? Or I'm just trying to work out.
Yes.
If you haven't got traveled there.
And YouTube, which is a website you can watch.
Yeah,
videos and stuff.
It feels like I've got. I'm going to suggest something. It feels like you've actually got a completely normal attitude to TV houses, which is you occasionally see them on television.
That's what it does seem that way.
Pretty much, yeah.
I was just impressed by the big breakfast. Just having an this is going to be interesting.
I just have an affinity for addresses because I just love postmen.
This is one of the best sections we've ever had on this podcast.
Well, I mean, it's fascinating,
Stop
isn't it?
Sorry,
me. Yeah, sorry.
Right, have you got a question for Henry? Golden question.
Absolutely. If your time in Britain had come to an end, I'm not saying anything dramatic like deported or anything over the top like that, but your time in the UK did come to an end, which country do you think you would relocate to and why? You know,
I think I would relocate to France.
Oh. I think there's quite a lot of that, isn't there?
So, yeah.
I always think people have got better ideas than me, and I think, come along with you. But where about south of France or?
I think maybe Paris.
Oh, lovely! Yeah. That would be nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, because I grew up in France, so I've got a little bit of French.
Oh, so you can speak the tongue?
I've got a little bit of tongue, French tongue in me.
Wow,
yeah.
Levache.
Yeah, I can speak French.
Levache.
No, that's a French word. Yeah, that's a cow. Yeah,
I learned that this week.
Levache.
Oh, lovely. That's great. Yeah. If I could speak French, I think I'd be there already.
Papillon.
Beg your pardon?
Papillon.
Is a butterfly. Correct. Yeah.
Are the people quite different in Paris? You say I've only been there briefly for a weekend. Is the culture, the people, the.
Parisians are, I think they're a bit snooty. They're slightly snooty. They're seen as a bit snooty by French.
You're quite snooty, David. Are you snooty?
I think I could get in with a snooty crowd type of thing. Do you know what I mean? I don't think I'm immediately snooty.
What a snooker game this is turning out to be.
It certainly is.
Now, we're coming to the final shot. Now, Henry's got to pop this black to win the World Championship. So... So the referee's just stood giving him a bit of space. David's sitting there looking tense.
I certainly am.
Henry leans.
Come on, Henry.
Come on, Henry! No, Henry leans over the table. How are you feeling,
Henry?
This is very, very tense. It's my hands are shaking.
Come on, Henry.
Come on, Henry.
Here we go, your big chance.
Because normally, any day of the week, normally I could pop this. This is a straightforward pop.
It's so easy.
But it's not. You don't know till you're in the crucible.
No.
And it's the big, and you've got Steve Davis looking at you.
Yeah.
It's a. So I'm so sweaty. I almost can't hold on. She can't get
rolling down the stick.
I almost can't.
Come on, Henry.
Come on, Henry.
The queue's slipping around all over.
It really is.
The queue's slipping around all over the place.
Come on, Henry.
Can barely.
You're staying in the green felt.
Sam.
So Henry's bending. Okay.
Come on, Henry.
Come on, Henry.
Okay.
So here he goes. He's bending over the green felt, the bay, and he pulls his cue back. And he's done it!
Yes! Come on, Henry.
Round of applause for the new world champion.
Well done, the better man's won.
Wow,
it's black.
Yeah, well, anything you want to say to Henry?
No, you turned up, you did well. I mean, 8 frames, that's pretty impressive. Well, 9 at the end of that.
And Daniel's got the cup, he's passing it to Henry. This is a lovely moment. Rightful winner. The cameras are snapping away.
Lovely stuff.
And we got to the end of the podcast, David. What would you like to say? Anything?
It's been enjoyable company. It's a shame I didn't win the trophy. I was hoping to take that back home. For the mantelpiece, but the better man's won, and thank you for your time, people.
Thank you.
Hugely appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody at home, and Charles, and James, the editor, and so on and so forth. See you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a Mr. Box production.